Hi, this is the fifth episode of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. My name's Manuela, and I'm going to start with a quick story about how Andrew and I have nothing in common. So, there has been a release on Netflix of a new Netflix original series, and it is my all-time favorite show called Santa Clarita Diet. And Andrew hates it. He won't even, like, give it a chance. And I think it's funny, and it's thrilling. And I texted him one day and said, oh my gosh, we had the ending was so good. And he goes, I highly doubt that. And I was like, that's so rude.
All right, I'm Andrew. And I actually almost asked you if I could do this segment today because I was going to bring this up. It's a comedy about cannibalism, which there's something wrong with that. That's not right. Completely inappropriate.
Whatever. It's a comedy.
Making light of a real problem in society.
Whatever. I'm literally done with you.
All right. So this is the part of the show where we do a recap of our week. And I'm just going to start off. My week
You're not
was
even going to ask
good.
Me this time?
I'm not even going to ask you anymore because I'm always like, what do I do? Oh, do you want to go? No, I'll go. Okay. So it started out decent. We had a spontaneous take-home midterm, which would sound nice, but my professor was like, and it's due next class. Oh. And so like we had 48 hours to do it, even though we already had like assignments and other stuff planned for those 48 hours. But it worked out. Then on Friday night, I played a game called Monkey Tag, which if you're not familiar, it's basically Marco Polo on playground equipment. And you have people running around on the, or one designated person running around on the mulch, trying to tag people. And then, like how we, when you say fish out of water, if someone like steps out of the pool, you yell groundies. So we played that. It was super fun. We ended up having a second person be it because it was just our friend Zeke, running around, and it was kind of hard because the playground equipment was so large. But fun fact, if you have two people it, they can corner you and it gets super intense. Someone fell off the playground equipment and twisted their ankle. So it was very lively. Then we went to Columbia this weekend to visit my sister,
Como!
Abby. Long live Como. We went to a park. I got paid $10 to swing on a baby swing.
Not on it, but in it.
Yes, in it. I put my legs in it. and then we played a 90s board game called Telephone Tag.
Yes.
That was very entertaining, even though there were pieces missing. And there was, probably the most interesting thing for me this week was in my one of my urban planning classes, we have an assignment about figure ground. Which probably the easiest...
Wait, what is it?
Figure ground, which...
What does that mean?
I'm going to explain it right
now.
Oh,
okay. Sorry.
The easiest way to explain it is like, you know those black and white illustrations, like it's a candlestick or candlestick holder in the middle and then like two faces
on
the side. So figure
those
ground...
Those are trippy.
Like, yeah. One of them sticks out to you and the other kind of stays back in. So that's figure ground. Our assignment is to do a figure ground drawing.
Oh, whoa. That's cool.
And my professor, like, one of my classmates had a question about it because she was absent the day it was assigned. So she's like, what is this? Like, I don't understand. And then he spends 10 minutes, like, explaining it the most complicated way possible. Instead of, like, pulling out a marker and drawing on the whiteboard, he, like, goes over to the bulletin board where there's, like, wooden cubes sticking out and, like, different colored things printed on it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so if this were like this, and then it'd be the opposite. And she's like, what? And then, like, they're talking and stuff, and I'm, like, not even paying attention. I'm, like, talking to the guy next to me. And then
Classic.
A few minutes go by, and all of a sudden, I hear this noise, and the professor puts a chair on top of the table in the room, and his voice is raised, and he's like, so, if this chair looks like this, you would get this side of it, and then you would do the opposite of it. And he's like, do you understand? And the girl's like, yeah, thank you. And then she turns to me, like, when he leaves the room, she's like, so, is this, like, a 3D thing? I don't understand. It's like, it's literally a
that's
black
awesome.
And white illustration, and then you invert it.
Oh, that's like, funny.
Yeah, so it was rough.
Hey, well, you're pretty athletic, so you'll be good at this project.
That was actually going to be my last point. The highlight of my week was on the drive up to Columbia when you said, you're so athletic, because no one in my entire life has told me that.
I meant to say artistic, but, you know, words are hard.
And that was my week.
That's so fun. All right, well, my week was pretty good. I went to a baseball game on Friday night, and I really love baseball, so that was fun. And then I finished Santa Clarita Diet, and that was amazing. Oh, tears. It was amazing. Ask me about it. I'll tell you all about it. And then Saturday, yeah, we went to Columbia, and that was really fun. And my favorite part of the day was, like, realizing that I had a really nice day, like, hanging out with you and stuff. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is going to be us for 7 weeks in East Asia. So that was a fun. Also, Andrew told me the funniest story I have ever heard in my life. I had tears coming down my face.
It's not that funny.
I know. He thinks it's like a normal part of life, but oh my gosh, it's so funny. If you're ever with me and Andrew, please remind us to tell you this story, because I will not, we can't do it justice over the podcast. So yeah, just a little suspense there.
Expectations.
Yeah, I had a good day. I got a new job, so that's really exciting. I'm a data analyst now. For an independent stock broker.
You're a young professional.
You know, I do what I can. I'm learning every day. And at my current job, the kids are pretty great. Today, they put a blue heart on my wrist because this is the blue heart meaning boyfriend. So I should be getting a boyfriend soon.
Oh.
So if any boys are listening, hi. I'm Manuela.
Oh, my goodness.
But, hey, also, remember how I talked about that teacher who kept rushing me on that test?
Yes, yeah.
Well, I got the test back, and I got a C. I was so happy. I thought I failed it, like 30%, but I got a 78.
Did he, like, put mean, like, scribbles in the areas he left
blank? He just put dashes on them.
Okay.
So it was evident that I didn't get it.
Now in Rolla, they would like have a red ink pen and they put humongous X's you did do the work.
Oh, so
like to humiliate you, basically.
Weird.
Yeah. It was.
Well, we don't go to Rolla, so.
That's right. Yeah.
We're a little bit better than that. But yeah, I've just been having a good week, chilling. You know.
Good. Glad to hear.
That's all I got for now.
So that brings us to our next segment.
Yes, we have a special guest. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you go for it.
We have a special guest, and it's our friend Leah. Say hi,
Hello,
Leah.
Hello, friends.
Yes, Leah is here to talk about how to maneuver awkward situations, and there might be a little segment about plants. So, Leah, tell us what you know.
Okay, well, since I'm the awkwardest human on the face of the planet, I've come up with an all-inclusive... No, it's completely accurate. I'm not even offended. I've come up with an all-inclusive list of how to get out of these situations.
All right, teach us.
I like it.
Okay.
Andrew could use this list.
Right.
Yeah, I'm taking notes.
So first things first, if something gets a little uncomfy, sorry if that word makes you uncomfy.
Uncomfy is my favorite new word, actually.
Stop.
I'm a fan.
It's not that bad.
Just whip out your wicked dance moves.
Wicked dance moves.
There's nothing awkward about a spontaneous dance party, you know?
What if the people around you don't like to dance?
I mean, they can do that little, like, head bob, you know, where it's like,
okay.
Mm, mm.
Actually, I guess that's what I do when people around me start dancing and
right.
I don't know how to respond.
Right.
So.
You're like, just move your shoulders a little bit.
All right,
and then
all right.
makes that person the uncomfortable, awkward one.
Yeah, right. Like, why aren't you dancing?
A joke's on you.
Yeah.
You're uncomfy.
New
okay,
quote.
If your wicked dance moves fail, the second step, talk about the info you found stalking their Facebook.
Oh, that's so good.
No, but don't make it obvious that you found it out from, like, Facebook. Just be like, oh, so, like, my friend mentioned that your Aunt Tina got a new flower today. Like, what kind of flower is it? Despite the fact that you saw that his Aunt Tina got a new flower today. Just by creeping on him. You know, whenever you're like a couple weeks deep, a couple years deep, and you're like, oh no. Okay.
This is applicable to me.
It is.
Oh, gosh.
So you can be creepy, but only to a certain degree.
Only a certain degree.
Only a certain degree.
Good to know.
Okay.
How do you know when you have gotten to that level where it's too far?
I feel okay.
Can you ever go too far Facebook stalking?
Well, I mean, like, mentioning it,
but like establishing okay.
gotcha, gotcha. Two people, like, what's too far?
You know, sometimes I realize I've gone too far, so I just, like, am straight up with him. I'm like, listen, I stalked your Facebook. I'm really sorry. I've done that to at least three people in the past 2 weeks, so.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right. What's the next step?
Next step. It's a very important one. Just establish awkwardness and do that awkward head bob, like I mentioned before, you know? Where it's like, well, this is awkward.
Like, so, you would say that to a person?
Right, because, like, it's not awkward if you admit that it's awkward. It just, like, the awkwardness. That is
we don't even need the soundboard for that. You know, just, Leah, our human soundboard.
You know me. Which brings me to my next point, actually. So, you can either talk in accents, or they can be accompanied with weird sounds. So, like, my personal favorite is the Hungry Hog.
can you do it right now?
You can do it at any volume. Like, you can do it really quietly. Or you can be like... you know, you just have to kind of gauge the situation. See how awkward it is.
I'm dead!
The first time I heard that was when we were playing Mafia, and I was, like, hand farting, and I was making people laugh. And then Leah does that out of nowhere. Just, like, taken aback.
Oh, my gosh.
Definitely recommend the Hungry Hog. If the Hungry Hog fails, it occasionally does in very rare cases. For whatever reason, I show them my hyperextended elbow, and I'm like, look, my arm does this weird angle thing that it shouldn't.
I hope every single human being on this planet that we call Earth gets a chance to have a conversation with Leah.
Yeah.
Please don't.
She's prepared.
Please don't make me use the Hungry Hog. Okay, and my final step, if all else fails, pull the My Grandma Just Died card and just leave.
Oh my gosh.
I've only had to use that a couple of times.
What? It's really
desperate measures. What situations were you trying to get out of?
You know, one time I went on a date, and the first thing he told me was that he was divorced. So I was like, I think my grandma just died.
What? You just left?
I mean, I did it politely. I didn't just, like, walk up and leave, but I was like, oh, no.
How much time did you allow before you broke the news?
I, like, let the awkward small talk ensue after for a bit, and then I was like, no. I can't do this.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm effectively a terrible person also.
That's okay.
Equally awkward.
It's all right. We're all terrible.
In order to combat awkward situations, you have to be slightly terrible.
Correct.
If you're not terrible, you're just going to be faced with all kinds
That's what we're getting out of
situations
this.
You can't handle.
That's pretty true. All right, Leah. So can you give us another example of a time that something was just terribly awkward and you had to use one of your steps to get out of it?
Oh, yes. Okay. I wanted to take this to the grave, but I'm going to share it with you guys.
Oh, you're telling everyone!
I'm telling everyone. Okay.
Wow.
So throwback to high school, whenever I didn't embrace my awkwardness, mm-hmm. like, I just let it, like, run through my veins and didn't control it.
Yeah.
I let it control me. Mm. And so whenever I was in Honduras, there was another intern who at the time I was like, oh, he's kind of cute. But the thing about Honduras is the electricity just randomly goes out and stays out for, like, hours at a time. So, his name is John. Me and John were
John,
sitting,
if you're listening.
Sorry, John. You're the real MVP. Glad we worked it out.
No.
He's a great friend of mine, though, actually. We look fondly on the situation.
Anyway, so tell us.
So, it was just us. He was sitting in the living room of where we were staying. So, like, he was on one couch at the opposite end of the other couch that I was at. So we were, like, as far away from each other as, like, possible uh-huh. without it being just too obvious and uncomfortable because we didn't really know each other at that point. And he's, I wouldn't say equally awkward, but he's up there. He's okay. definitely an uncomfy human. And so we were there alone because the person we were staying with had to go to the hospital to visit someone. So we're sitting there on our phones, hadn't spoken for probably an hour, just kind of coexisting.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it gets worse. Just
oh
wait.
Oh gosh.
So we're sitting there and all of a sudden the light just goes out. Me and this random person that I just met were just sitting in like pitch black. We didn't acknowledge the fact that the electricity went out. But also the Wi-Fi went out because the electricity went out, but we were both still sitting on our phones pretending like the Wi-Fi worked when we both knew that it didn't work.
Oh my gosh.
We sat there for 30 minutes without speaking in silence in the dark.
So like what broke the silence?
Nothing. He had just got up and put candles on and then went back to sitting in silence.
Awesome.
Oh, but it gets worse. So the lady comes back whose house it is. Oh, yeah. Oh, just wait. So the lady comes back, and she walks in, and the lights are finally on, and she goes, well, this is a party. Just looked at each other and, like, internally sobbed.
Why did we talk this
That's happened? Awesome.
So looking back, what would you have done differently? Would you have pulled out the Hungry Hog?
Probably not as the first, like, first effort. I probably would use the accents, like, well, this is awkward, you know? Like, a combination of the two steps. Yeah.
So, how has being an incredibly awkward person shaped your life in a positive way?
I can just see other uncomfortable people, and I'm like, wow, we're both uncomfortable, so we can be uncomfortable together, and it's just so nice, like, coexisting with someone else who's uncomfortable, because then two uncomforts, that's not a real word. Discomforts.
We are not
uncomfies, whatever they are. Two uncomfies, it's like uncomfy squared. And they just like
a negative and a negative makes a positive.
So it's all positive in the long run. So nice. I just kind of stick with uncomfy people. Yeah.
All right. Well, do you have a question?
I do. So you probably describe yourself as a quiet person, right?
Sure.
Maybe. Okay.
Well, if you don't know her,
I mean,
maybe.
If we're in the dark, like, there's no electricity and I don't
like
know
the story
you,
we
yes.
just talked about.
When you do know her, you're like, shut up.
I know.
Like on the side
Never
of the cliff,
shut
I'm like, shh. I'm like, Leah, shut up.
You know, I just like ruining proposals.
All right. Anyways, my question was, I feel like being quiet plays a factor into awkwardness a lot. Like you say something and people either... they like act like they did understand you and kind of nod their head, or they're like, what? I didn't get that. Or just like they completely ignore it. And you're like, I just said something really relevant that would help you. And you like, don't know. And then like awkward things follow. Like, do you have any input on how to maneuver?
That?
Yeah. Other than speak louder.
I feel like, okay. So are you asking me like what I do if I don't understand someone or if they don't understand me?
If they don't understand you.
Oh,
if they don't understand me. I give it 3 times.
Okay.
Like, 3rd time's a charm. Like, if I repeat it 3 times, I'm like, you know, let's just change the subject. Like, I don't explicitly say it, but I'm like, whoa, like, have you seen the weather today in Missouri? That's crazy, you know? Like, because there's only so many times. 3 times a charm. Yeah, that's the rule.
Good to know.
Gotcha.
And vice versa, too. Like, if you don't understand someone and it's the 3rd time, just nod and smile and be like, oh, yeah.
I'll remember that.
That's awesome. Well, let's change the topic a little bit. Tell us about plants.
Plants,
What's
oh my
so
gosh.
Great about them?
Can I just tell you about the plant I got today?
Sure.
It's incredible. Wow. I'm actually, okay, this is really lame. When I get new plants, I just want to sit at home and stare at them.
They might change.
No, I just want to spend time with him. I want to bond with my plants.
Did you just say him?
All right.
Them.
Oh. Like,
yes, my gendered plants. No, I was actually late to something today because I got a new plant. And I was like, wow, my plant is so amazing.
Was that
amazing.
The podcast?
No, actually. I was actually in the shower for that one. Anyways. Okay, so what was the question about plants? Sorry, I just got really
I said, what's
them.
So great about them?
Oh my God.
And then you were going to tell plants? Me about your plant. And so you haven't done either of those things.
Right. Correct. Okay. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Go on.
Okay. So plants are cool because they're like alive but dead.
And they're not dead.
They're sort of dead. Like they don't have intestines or anything. So. I feel like you have to have intestines to actually be considered alive, you know?
Or cells.
There's a word
like,
for that.
You just have to have cells. Plants have cells. They're just different than ours.
I mean,
homegirl.
We need a biologist to come on here and differentiate everything.
If there are any biologists listening, please help. Anyways, they're just super cool to look at because, like, what other things in this world are green, you know?
Sick people.
Okay.
Broccoli. Right. Okay. What? Weed.
Whoa. We're not talking about that on this program.
That's my favorite plant.
Yeah, that's the plant I just got.
That's actually what I got today.
Yeah.
That's why I was so late.
Okay, well, thanks for being on the show, Leah.
Thanks, Manuela.
If there's anything you want to tell the people about maneuvering awkward situations, give us one last piece of advice.
Embrace the awkward, and if that doesn't work, just hit them with the...
Very
wow, applicable. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Yes. Thank
All you. Right. Well, we're so thankful to have Leah on our segment, and we're going to move on to our drink segment, which Leah is going to join us for because she hasn't left. So I bought this cherry chocolate beer, and we're going to see how it tastes. I have absolutely no idea.
Where do you buy it?
Price Cutter.
Classic.
Always. You wish.
I do wish, actually.
We should come up with, like, a small talk thing that we do each time during this segment. Mm. I feel like the sound effect isn't enough.
Are you just... Okay, sorry, Andrew.
No. I'm just...
Are you saying you're uncomfy?
I can't believe
that, so we can refer back to my list.
Hand fart.
Perfect.
I'll just do hand farts every time.
I'll just do hand farts every time.
All right.
All right, everyone.
Ready to clink?
Let's cheers.
Let's do it.
To awkwardness.
To awkwardness.
This is disgusting.
This is kind of cloudy.
Ew, this is not, so gross.
It tastes like chocolate syrup.
Are you sure?
Foamy chocolate syrup.
Have you ever had chocolate syrup?
What chocolate syrup?
Wait. Also, I print off a list of like 100 adjectives to describe beverages. So let me just go through it right now.
Are you going through all 100?
It's not perfume.
All 100? And just like real quick. Let me just
go through these 100 words.
It's likable, smooth, social, enhanced, distinct.
Anyway, so...
It's not chewy.
Ew.
The beverage is chewy?
So, a little bit of background. This is brewed from O'Fallon Brewery. Their slogan, we love beer.
Like O'Fallon, same. Illinois?
O'Fallon Brewery. St. Louis County, Maryland Heights, Missouri.
Woo woo! I didn't even know that was over there.
If you want to call them, their phone number is 636-474. Beer.
I don't trust my number.
That's my number. Awkward. How to get on this bottle?
Robust.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan at all.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
Lightly carbonated. Oh, I just cannot get into the chocolate and cherry.
Yeah, I taste the cherry too.
I feel like if you mix this with like cherry Coke or something, it wouldn't be as terrible. But also, who mixes beer and Coke? You know.
Cheek puckering.
True.
Cheek puckering.
Yeah, I'm not into this at all.
Same. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can finish it.
I can finish, like, since it's, like, such a small, like, glass that was poured, I can finish it, but it's not something I, like, go out and buy.
Yeah, I will never buy this again.
I wonder if people actually invest their money in this. Like, you know what I'm feeling tonight? Chocolate cherry beer.
Yeah, really.
I bet it would go well with ice cream.
Oh, if you made, like, a float?
Ooh. Like a beer float. That wouldn't be terrible.
Oh, we should have brought some ice cream.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, well,
we will remember
fine.
That.
Yeah, remember that for next time. All right, we ready to move on to our pop culture segment?
Yeet.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so our first half, we are going to discuss the Netflix movie Bright. Do you want to start talking about it? I feel like it's kind of a confusing plot to explain.
Yeah, it kind of is. Bright is a Netflix original. I actually saw online, I like went onto the IMDb.
International Movie Database.
Yeah, whatever it is. I went on that website and looked at the trivia section.
Oh,
and
nice.
It said that, first off, it's like the hot... It was like the movie that made the most money.
Off of Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, okay.
Wait, like it had the largest budget, like that they spent on making it, or it...
Maybe it was largest budget.
Okay.
I don't really know.
I wonder how they would determine. It would have to be like how many views or something.
I guess I just got that wrong. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, anyway.
Fact check.
I don't like this segment anymore.
No, you're doing good. I pass it off to you.
And then I forgot the second piece of trivia that I was going to say. But...
It stars Will Smith.
Yeah, it does. And it's a cool movie about how Will Smith, being a black man, is in this movie that, like, definitely shows what racism looks like. And because he works, it's a fantasy, like, kind of sci-fi mm-hmm. thing. He works with this little creature called an orc. He's not really little, but he does. But it's kind of like in the movie. Okay, so it has humans, orcs, and elves. And the elves are like the highest ranking people or creatures. Yeah, and then species. Humans are the middle species. And then the orcs are the lowest of the low. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of talks about how this orc became a cop in L.A. And he's the first ever orc cop. And so Will Smith gets assigned to work with him. And Will's, like, real mad because he doesn't want to work with an orc. You know, racist. And they're kind of solving this mystery about if the orc caught this guy who shot at Will. Or if the orc just let him go free because it was another orc. Mm-hmm. Orc on orc action.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're kind of trying to, like, all of LAPD is trying to
frame
the orc and yeah. stuff like that. But then they get caught up in this adventure where they run into an elf and she has this magic wand. And then they're like, oh, what is going on?
Someone wants to summon the Dark Lord.
Yeah, like Cash.
Typical movie stuff.
Yeah, but I really liked it. I think I had trouble following the plot just because we watched it in like three different segments. But overall, I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
What were your thoughts? Oh, it had a killer soundtrack.
Okay, gotcha. So the plot was good. It had some nice twists and turns. It's a bit darker than I would... than's my preference. Well, I guess I shouldn't rate it yet. I will say I really admire Jacoby. That was the name of the orc character. Like, it was a nice visualization of how, like, when you have, like, these two groups in society that don't get along at all, and there's usually a potential middleman that kind of reconcile the two groups, mm-hmm. That person is strongly disliked by both groups oftentimes. Because the group that they would originally belong to feels like they're a traitor, or that individual yeah. is a traitor. But then the new group that they're joined, they feel like they don't truly belong. And then Jacoby was just, like, a really, like, honest, like, genuine guy who, like, really cared about his partner when they were out on the force, even though his partner, Will Smith, like, didn't trust him at all at the beginning. So I really liked his character. But, yeah, like I said, it was darker than I probably would have preferred, and I would give it a C+.
Oh, really? Why? So, just because it was dark?
Yeah, I don't know. It needed a little more something in there for me, too. It needed to be brighter.
Okay.
Even though the name of the movie was Bright.
I would give it, like, a B. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I thought it was good. I think the soundtrack really bumped it up for me, too.
Okay.
Just because I like music. Also, that second piece of trivia that I was trying to say is that Bright already has a sequel in the making.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be exciting to watch.
I should specify, like, if I were to grade it from, like, a critical, like, objective standpoint, it would probably be, like, somewhere in the B range. But I feel like I've been too milquetoast with my grading lately, so I'm trying
to be... Milquetoast?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Like, a softie.
What?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
You've
in my
never
life.
Heard that before?
That should have been our quote jar.
Well, we will add that.
All right. Well, we're also going to discuss this album by the band called
Night Terrors of 1927.
Yes. Whenever we were driving to Columbia, Andrew had this CD in his car, and I just loved it. Also, he made me a mix CD one time. And the song, one of their hit songs called When You Were Mine was on the CD. And I just loved that song so much that when I found out there's a whole CD centered around that song, or the song was on the CD. I took the CD from Andrew and made a copy of it. That might be piracy, so hopefully no cops are listening.
Busted. Yeah, the group formed in 2012. They're, Wikipedia defines them as an indie pop band, but mm-hmm. I would like to say more like alternative rock, or like it's kind of like a mellow.
Well, iTunes says alternative.
Okay, good. So. I trust iTunes over Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But like just like their style, it's like it makes me think kind of like older, like kind of 90s or 80s. I know that it's not like it's not representative of 90s and 80s music, but it just makes me feel like it's not music that typically is associated with this time period.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a nostalgic mood music, and I really enjoy it.
What was your favorite song?
My favorite song. So When You Were Mine with featuring Tegan and Sarah.
That's my favorite song, yeah, too.
That's my favorite.
Here, I'll play a little tidbit. If iTunes will load it.
Yeah.
See, look, we have something in common.
I know. So crazy. So that was the first song I ever heard by them, and I really liked it. Mm-hmm. Throwback to freshman year in Rolla. And then there's another song, Always Take You Back.
Yeah, that
there's
is
like
a
choir that they have like intermittently throughout it. That would be my second favorite on the album. Yeah. And then just overall, the album's really good, really quality.
Mm-hmm.
What other song would you say is a favorite?
Honestly, all of them. Nice. The only song that I didn't really enjoy as much was Novocaine.
Oh, really? That was my third favorite.
What? I'm done with you. But yeah, I like them because they kind of seem like super upbeat songs, but then when you listen to the lyrics, sometimes they're really like mm-hmm. deep or sad.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just really like that in music because I like a lot of the instrumentals. I thought they were all done very well. And then when the words come, it's definitely something that just adds to it rather than kind of distracts from it. So I was really excited about that and I really enjoyed it. Another song that I really liked was Perfect Day. I really like that because I don't know, sometimes I just like to, I don't know, sometimes days aren't perfect, but you can make them perfect if you have the right attitude, and you recognize what's really important in life. But yeah, so I'm a big fan of this CD. Hit up me and Andrew if you want to hear more. I really like how they say in this iTunes review, it says, in place of the contemplative songwriting of their former bands, the duo's debut is a synth-heavy, somatic soundscape, the kind of thing that's ideal for late-night drives through the streets of LA, which the pair call home. And, I don't know, I love driving, and I love driving with friends and late night. so, yeah, that definitely related to me as I listened to the CD because I thought, oh yeah, I could see myself cruising around Springfield.
Yeah, definitely good driving music. I will say I also like their single Smoke Signals, and the reason why I'm throwing that out there is because they're not making any more music. They disbanded in 2017.
Lame.
Unfortunately. Yeah, and they're my second favorite band of all time. So
oh, really?
That stinks. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Right behind. Want to guess who's my number one?
Wait, hang on. Here's the Smoke Signals song. Oh, yeah. That sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, your favorite band. You've told me this. Florence and the Machine.
You betcha.
Yes! I knew it! I know you. A little bit. All right. So time to move on to our quote jar segment. Last segment of the day.
All right. And Manuela's going to guess whether it's from a fictional world or if it's from an actual person.
Yes.
All right. Are you familiar with the word sans? This isn't the quote. This is just me.
Oh. What? No.
Sans. So sans means without. So sometimes someone will say, I'll get the milkshake sans the cherry.
I've never heard that before.
Okay. Well, here's the quote regarding sans. It was nauseating to see it written. Now it doubles me over when it's spoken.
Wait, say it again.
It was nauseating to see it written. Now it doubles me over when it's spoken.
True.
As in real.
Real person. Sorry.
It is real. Yes. And it was my father. He always has these petty quotes. Was he last week too?
I don't think so. No, okay. He wasn't. No, but you didn't pick my quote, so.
Sorry. Well, we'll get there eventually.
All right. Well, that's a great quote. And with that, we'll go ahead and end the show. Thanks for listening, guys.
Two Friends with Nothing in Common is produced by Manuela Lenz and Andrew Mankey. Special thanks to our guest today, Leah Sorrells. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is filmed in the Ozarks.